Article by Ryan Tavin, narrated by AI.
Okay, let's set the scene. Picture our earliest ancestors, maybe millions of years ago, standing upright on those wide open African plains.
Yeah.
They were incredibly vulnerable, weren't they? I mean, no real armor, no advanced weapons, just their basic five senses against everything out there.
Exactly. And, you know, that immense constant pressure, it forged something pretty remarkable. A rapid, almost subconscious alarm system.
Like a primal sixth sense.
That's a good way to put it.
Yep.
A kind of intuitive gut warning, integrating really faint sensory cues, maybe things they weren't even fully aware of, with deep-seated memories. It allowed for split-second reactions.
An evolutionary lifeline, essentially.
Couldn't have survived without it, likely.
And that's really our mission for this deep dive, isn't it? Based on the sources you share, we're going to unpack this whole fascinating evolutionary story.
Right.
This ancestral intuition, this sixth sense. We'll dig into its neural underpinnings, try to understand why it seems to have faded a bit over time, and I think crucially, uncover its surprising echoes in our lives today.
Yeah, how it still shows up.
So let's start right at the beginning. That sheer vulnerability that really kicked off this whole evolutionary development.
Yeah.
Our early hominin ancestors, their vision, their hearing, maybe not as sharp as some predators, and their sense of smell while there was a broad, maybe slow to give specific warnings.
That's right. And they lacked, you know, thick fur for protection or powerful limbs for a quick escape. They were genuinely at a disadvantage in many ways.
It really sounds like it.
And this very vulnerability, this constant threat, it became the crucible, the intense evolutionary pressure that demanded a new kind of threat detector.
Because the basic senses just weren't cutting it alone.
Simply weren't enough, no. It forced the emergence of this integrated, hyper-efficient alarm system, something that went beyond just simple sight or sound.
So the brain had to find a shortcut under that kind of pressure.
It absolutely did.
And it found one. This low road pathway scientists talk about. Tell us about how this lightning fast alarm actually worked in the brain. This is where it gets really fascinating.
It really is. Neuroscience has uncovered this incredible low road pathway. Basically, it's a rapid circuit that sends raw sensory data straight to the amygdala.
The brain's alarm bell.
Exactly. And crucially, it bypasses the slower, more conscious processing routes in the cortex.
Yeah.
It doesn't wait for you to consciously figure things out.
The sheer speed. And how fast are we talking? I remember seeing some studies.
Oh, incredibly fast. Research, particularly with rodents, showed they could freeze, you know, classic fear response in as little as 12 milliseconds after a warning cue.
12 milliseconds. That's almost instantaneous. Faster than a blink.
It really is. And human imaging studies back this up, too. They show these instantaneous fear reactions happening even before our conscious awareness fully registers the threat.
Wow.
So this rapid circuit, this low road, it really forms the neural core of that ancient intuition, enabling that split-second defense that could mean the difference between life and death back then.
Okay, so speed was critical, but it wasn't just about speed, right? This sense was also incredibly good at figuring things out when the picture wasn't clear. Ambiguity.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, think about spotting a predator hidden in the grass from just, I don't know, a flicker of movement, a weird shadow. How did they do that with so little solid information?
Well, this touches on something researchers call thin slicing.
Thin slicing.
Yeah, it's the ability to make surprisingly accurate judgments or reads on a situation from minimal data, often in like the blink of an eye.
So snap judgments, but accurate ones.
Often, yes. The key insight isn't just that it's fast, but that these quick takes, which often feel like intuition, were actually pretty reliable. They had to be. They were honed over millions of years to keep our ancestors safe, even when they didn't have the full picture.
So it's like using mental shortcuts, fast and frugal heuristics, I think is the term.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Those heuristics allowed for quick, good enough judgments in high-stakes situations. It really amplified that sixth sense in ambiguous, dangerous contexts.
Okay, so it sounds like this incredibly fast logical processing system. But you mentioned earlier it wasn't just about raw data. There was more to it.
That's a great point. No, it wasn't just cold calculation. This intuitive system was actually deeply, deeply intertwined with past emotional experiences. And that adds another layer.
Ah, okay. This is where Damasio's somatic marker hypothesis fits in, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a beautiful explanation.
The idea that our emotional experiences don't just stay in our heads, they actually leave like tags or markers on our body, creating almost physical associations.
That's it. So imagine an ancestor has a terrifying run-in with a lion near some tall grass.
Okay.
Years later, even if they don't consciously remember that specific event, a similar rustle in the grass, maybe even a similar smell on the wind, could instantly feel dangerous.
Because of that ingrained bodily warning, that somatic marker.
Precisely. Your gut might tighten, your heart rate might jump, your breath could hitch. You're instantly ready to react, even without consciously retrieving the memory.
So the body remembers the feeling, the danger.
The body remembers. These somatic markers basically embed emotional warnings directly into our neural circuits, fueling that immediate gut feeling, that intuition. Your past fears leave a kind of physical signature.
Okay, let's unpack this prediction angle a bit more. You mentioned our brains are constantly trying to guess what happens next.
Yes, that's a core idea in modern neuroscience. Our brain functions like a sophisticated prediction engine. It's constantly building models of the world, expecting certain patterns, certain sequences.
And when something doesn't fit the prediction?
It flags a prediction error.
Yeah.
Something unexpected happens, something jars its established model, and an alert goes up.
So back on the savanna, maybe a sudden, unexpected shift in the wind or a scent that just feels wrong, out of place.
Exactly. Even if it seems minor, if it violates the brain's prediction of normal, it would trigger that error alarm.
Fueling that fight or flight response again, the brain's constantly checking its map against reality.
Constantly. And anything that didn't fit a sudden sound, that weird smell, it kicks that primal response into high gear. This predictive processing was key to sharpening that intuitive sense, keeping the brain perpetually on guard for anomalies. Anything that felt off.
Which makes perfect sense for survival. So if this sixth sense was such a crucial advantage, I mean, a real survival superpower, why does it seem, well, less prominent today?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? Most of us aren't dodging predators daily.
Thankfully.
Right. Well, as our ancestors evolved, particularly Homo erectus and later species, they started developing new strategies. Game changers, really.
Like fire. Tools.
Exactly. Harnessing fire provided warmth, light, protection. They started crafting more sophisticated tools, wooden weapons, spears. They built more secure shelters.
So these cultural and technological advances, they started to buffer the immediate physical danger.
Significantly reduced it, yes. You weren't quite as exposed, quite as reliant on pure instinct second by second.
So what did that mean for our intuition? Did we just stop needing it as much?
In a way, yes. External tools, better shelters, cooperative group defense. These gradually replaced the constant hypervigilant need for that raw primal sixth sense. The intense evolutionary pressure started to ease off.
So our reliance on it just sort of waned as these cultural defenses ramped up.
That seems to be the case. That incredible sixth sense, while the circuitry is likely still there, became less critical for moment-to-moment physical survival. And like any capability that's not constantly selected for, it perhaps dialed back a bit, atrophied in a sense, relative to its earlier importance.
Okay, fast forward to today then. Most of us, as you said, aren't navigating a savanna full of immediate physical threats. So what does this all mean for us now? Is that ancestral radar just offline?
Not entirely offline, no. It's perhaps quieter, less tuned to physical predators.
Yeah.
But we absolutely still experience its echoes.
Like those gut feelings.
Exactly. Those gut feelings, making rapid judgments about people or situations, especially social or maybe professional ones. That feeling when you walk into a room and something just feels off, or meeting someone new and getting an instant unexplained vibe, good or bad.
Yeah, everyone experiences that sometimes.
Those are very likely echoes of this ancient alarm system, just repurposed for the complexities of modern human interaction rather than immediate physical danger.
So it's still there, just operating in a different context. Now, I'm curious, can we actually do anything to tune back into it, rekindle some of that latent ability? Some people seem to actively train it, right?
They do, yes. And it's fascinating. Practices like mindfulness, for instance.
How does mindfulness help?
Well, it trains you to pay closer attention to subtle cues, both internal, like your own bodily sensations, those somatic markers we talked about, and external shifts in your environment, just heightening your overall awareness.
Okay, what else?
Sensory exercises can help too, deliberately focusing on sharpening your hearing, your sight, your sense of subtle changes, and even perhaps engaging in controlled risk scenarios.
Like what? Not fighting lions, I hope.
No, definitely not. More like certain sports that require quick decisions or even complex problem solving or decision making exercises in a safe setting. How might consciously recognizing and maybe even gently training that intuitive capacity, not for dodging predators, but for navigating modern life, how might that help you deal with the unexpected challenges, maybe make quicker, more confident choices?
That's definitely something to ponder, how connecting those subtle intuitive dots might play out in your own experience.